states that Nefishi Pratego, Klal Yisrael Kolelet, Bechol Ha'olam, Pachot Mimilyon Nefashot. I take that as not a galactic matter. I take that as a terrible indication of a mindset according to which Klal Yisrael throughout the world is less than a million people. Now, how many Jews are there in the world? Can you 12, 13 million? 11, 12 million people haven't read out. I came this past summer to the, or the summer before rather, it was just a couple of weeks, no, sorry, in the winter, to the Rebbe of this particular newspaper, and I said to him, Rebbe, could I have a spare? Bin ear, um mein Freu, um meine Kinder, um Enekor, zene me ja, ne nicht, achele von Palestine. He says, in fact, too hard, I try. Still don't know what it means. Therefore, it is helpful to define more closely who and what, is Klal Yisrael, who is in, who is out. And it is prudent as well as instructive to approach the problem dispassionately, and therefore to do it in halachic categories so as to avoid, insofar as we can, any partisan polemics. First, a word about nomenclature. I don't know if there's any place in Shas in the Medrash where Klal Yisrael is used in a contemporary sense. Ahu gavra ha-bechelesh at Klal Yisrael, Shteikish. You do find in Medrash, in Shas, Knesset Yisrael, which has really a kind of, you certainly find it in Kabbalah. Kabbalah Knesset Israel is identified with the Shekhinah, the Malchus. But words Klal Yisrael are quite contemporary, and I think it really stems from the Le'ah Benayim, from the Rishonim, and probably stems from, to a large extent, from the writings of the Rambam, which I have much occasion to refer to. And it's used not in the sense of Klal Yisrael as one term, but rather, the beginning is quite different. In hu nimneh b'chlal, quote, Yisrael, unquote, or not. In other words, chlal, in this sense, is the adjective of Yisrael. And Yisrael comes in quotes. Is he in the category of a Jew, or is he not in the category of Yisrael or a Jew? It is not meant to be taken as a term in itself, but of course, as so often happens, it became a term. So the question we have in front of us is not one of fundamental identity, such as who is a Jew, but the answer there is simple. He's either born to a Jewish mother or here to halacha. Rather, the question is, as it were, and I'll define this a little bit later, it's one of citizenship. You know, as we have it in the, when we give a degree, you give a master's degree, a bachelor's degree, a doctoral degree, you say, with all the rights and immunities and privileges pertaining thereto. Is a who belongs in Klal Yisrael, or who is Bechlal Yisrael, in the sense that he is entitled to all the privileges of being a member of Am Yisrael. We shall come back to this. The most important of all those rights, immunities, and privileges refers to the mitzvah of Ahavas Yisrael. Where does the Torah say that there's a mitzvah of Ahavas Yisrael? That's a mitzvah of Ahavas Yisrael. If I want to test whether Mr. A is part of Klal Yisrael or not, I must ask myself halachically the question, is the mitzvah of Yahavta L'Adayacha Kamocha chal on him or not? Am I required to love him as part of Ahavas Yisrael, Yahavta L'Adayacha Kamocha, or am I not required to love him as part of Yahavta L'Adayacha Kamocha? And therefore we turn first to the mitzvah of Ahavas Yisrael, of Yahavta L'Adayacha Kamocha. What is the scope of the mitzvah? Moreover, there is, according to the halacha, a mitzvah of Yahavta L'Adayacha Kamocha. There is equally a mitzvah of hating a Russian, sinas v'shoyim, the hate of evil. And prima facie, hate and love are mutually exclusive. Does this mean then that a Russia and we shall define it, that a Rasha is outside the pale, and we are not required either to love him or to include him b'chlal Yisrael. I'm going to divide the consideration of the issue into two parts. The first will deal with the more theoretical halakhic aspects, and then we'll move on to the contemporary implications, practically, of these halakhs. In Hilchos Deis, Perek Vav, the Rambam writes, Mitzvah kol adam lehoves kol echad v'yachod v'yisrael v'gufo sh'nama v'yahatol aleyachah kamalcha. You have to love every Jew as you love yourself, because it says v'yahatol aleyachah kamalcha. Leticha. Tzadich v'saper v'shvacho. Therefore you have to speak well of your neighbor. V'lachus al mamono, be mindful of his property. Kasher v'chus al mamon atzmo, no less than you're mindful and careful with your own property. V'roza v'chod atzmo, no less mindful of his dignity and honor than you are of your own. Whoever builds himself up, glorifies himself by humiliating another person, loses his portion of Olam Haba. On that halacha of the Rambam, the mitzvah of Ahavas Yisrael, Ahavas Beit. Now, Agoras Maimon says as follows. It's a very important Agoras Maimon. The Dafka Shaita, the Dafka Shehu Reacha, the Torah of a Mitzvah. The Mitzvah of Yehata Reacha Kamocha devolves on him only if he is Reacha, the Torah of Mitzvah. Your friend, your neighbor, your friend in Torah and Mitzvah. Avo, but if he's an Odom Rosh Hashem and Makabel Tarkocha, he's a Rosh and doesn't accept your rebuke. Mitzvah is not no so, you have to hate him, it's a Mitzvah to hate him. Shenamar, he gives the Pasikiras Hashem Sinaskar, Hamam Sanakar Hashem Nesk. If you look at the Pasik, we have the Leah Kamalcha and the Rishonim, you find two points of view. The Rashbam clearly is Agoras Maimonides, excuse the chronology, but the Rashbam is the same Shita as we find in the Agoras Maimonides, and he says, we have the Leah Kamalcha, they have in Tovu, Hamam Lavam Hudasha. The Rashi not required the law. If Manasseh gives a different parish, a different note to be Yahakul Aleyacha Kamocha, he takes the end of the pasuk, be Yahakul Aleyacha Kamocha, Ani Hashem. And in the Nezer writes, V'tam Ani Hashem, why does be Yahakul Aleyacha Kamocha conclude with the declaration of God's Lordship? Ki Ani Eloka Echad, I, the one God, Baras Yeska, created all of you. Therefore you have to love each other. Well, what does it follow from this? Are you required to love a Rasha or not?
Yeah.
God created the Rasha as well as the Tzadik. From the Ibn Ezra, it's mashma clearly that Sinas Hashem doesn't come into this picture, and in fact, you are required to love the Rasha as well. The point of departure now, okay? Let's go back to the Agoras Maimonides who's restricted. Leacha, Matara, and this. Where did he get this? Yes, where did he get it from the Rambam himself? Rambam writes in towards the end of Hilchos Aveiros, Mitzvah Sashay Shom Debrayim Lavaki Echolim Lachem Aveilim, the mitzvah to visit the sick and to console the Aveilim, Achdos Es Kala, Orchem, etc. Ve'elo Hem Yibulas Chasodim Shom Begufo Yishayim Mehem Shiur. We all know, we say it every day, this is Yibulas Chasodim, there's no limit, Afal Pi. Afal Pi Shekol Mitzvah Se'elim Medebrayim, even though these specific mitzvahs they are all expressions of the biblical mitzvah, the Eiraisi mitzvah, we have to lecha kamocha. Kol ha-dvarim sh'atah rotzeh sh'yasu osam l'cha acheidim, whatever you want others to do to you, now listen to this, asay atah osam li'archicha v'torah u'lem mitzvahs. So the Rambam scoops in. You're not expecting it, and suddenly it is there that he's speaking about the bottom part of the Yehatul Aleichem Kamocha, and he slips in the words, the Torah or the mitzvahs, so therefore apparently this is the source of Agoras Maimonides and the Rambam himself, that it is only restricted to an observant Jew. But that is problematic, not only because it doesn't satisfy us our own precepts, rather our own insight than our own prejudices. Halachically is a problem. The problem comes in Hilchos Mitzvah.
difference of the Seyat Perik and Gimel, we have 12 of us. And this is based, as you know, on the principle in the Torah, that the mitzvah, if you see your friend, and the car broke down, you've got to help him. You've got to help him fix the car. Torah doesn't say it specifically. Torah has a more interesting definition. If you see it laden down under a great burden and can't move, and also passively mobile sukal the summon, you have to help them unload that dummy. Now, in the Gemara, what you see in Sukkot, the Gemara plays the following principle down. If you have two people who otherwise are equal, one of them is struggling, both of them are struggling. One is struggling to load his donkey, and one is struggling to unload his donkey. Which one do you help first? You have to help the krika, the unloading, before the deina. Why? Because of tzah balachayim. Because loading the donkey, you're not causing him any pain. But refusing to help unload means the poor animal is going to be crushed under his load, and therefore it is a greater mitzvah to help unload, or to give priority to the unloading, to the loading, because of the Someone puts it as follows. You have these two. Mitzvah lichrok mitchila. The mitzvah is to give priority to the unloading because it's tzav alachayim. And then you go to the other fellow and help them load. My man dvarim amudim. When do we say this? When they are both equally your friends or your enemies. Sonim or Ohav. If one was a friend and one was an enemy, what do you do first? Which do you do first? Which do you do first?
The enemy.
Enemy. Mitzvah lita, even if the enemy had te'ina and the friend had frika. In other words, if they were both equal, you're always going to help unload. But if they're not equal, and what happens if your friend, if they're not equal, then you go to the enemy first, even if the enemy is only loading. So you ignore the mitzvah of tzav alachayim in order to help the enemy first. Now, where did he get it from? You know what I'm referring to. Now, how do you get that he has priority even for Plika over Te'ina? So the Rambam says, Kedei Lokuf Lokuf Es Yitzlo Hara. Hara wants to teach us to suppress Yitzhara. Now the Rambam goes to the next piece, which again comes from the Gemara. What do you mean by something? He says, okay, the Rambam asks, more, but it was naive, it's such a delicious naivete. All the Bible was depending on some enemies. How is it possible for a Jew to have an enemy who's another Jew? Have you ever heard of one Jew hating another Jew? Of course, the Bible said, Rabbi Ferish, apostate, but his sister, Sadiqa, will go back, huh? Of course, what the Rama means is that the Torah wouldn't call him Sunday because it's us. In actual fact, unfortunately, I remember my, during the uprising, the Israel War of Independence. My uncle told me a story that two Jews were arguing at this medrash. He said, how come Devin not allow Jews to come into Israel? And Ashi and Kodesh, they took a Kodesh or something like that. He said, also, Mantona, Devin is an Amoritz. They don't learn, and therefore they hate each other. But the Shach said, so it couldn't be a real Sone, because the Torah wouldn't call a Sone a person whom you hate, wouldn't give you the satisfaction of categorizing him as such. Elamai, following the Gemara, it's the definition of a Sunday is the old Vado Uber Aveda and his Bible or Chazarai. If I saw something over an Avera, I was not, I'm an Eidachat, otherwise he is a Rosh, he's out. But I'm an Eidachat, I know he's a Rosh, I gave him Teichach and he didn't accept, then he is my Sunday. I am his Sunday, he is my Sunday. In such a case, he takes priority over an Ohein who is a perfectly good Jew. Torah Hikpida al Nachos Yisrael Bein Asher and Bein Tzadikim Be'achash Ha'im Nilgrim al Hashem. That is a very important word. So the Torah tells you, yeah, the man is a Sone. Why is he a Sone? Because he really is a Rasha. And the Rasha comes before the Tzadik. Right? Why? Because the Torah was makdid on the life of every Jew. whether Rosh or Tzadik, me'achar she'em nilvim el Hashem, since they are part of the machana of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, u'ma'aminem b'ikarei hadas, right? Because it says, ki ha'chayel inon Hashem, mechvoz ma'oz ha'rosh ha'ki b'shubu b'dak v'dokoy. It's a little, something is funny here. Because what you have here are three mitzvahs contending with each other. You have three concepts contending with each other. You have Yahapalei Bekamoka, you have Sinas Rishoyim, you have Tzav Balachayim, and you have the Lucha Pesitra. Now, I don't want to go into a whole clue what Lucha Pesitra means. I'm simply coming with a suggestion that I conclude with, which I would have gone through had we had more time. And that the myths that the Kadei Lucha Pesitra are that Amman. It's not just a moralistic statement. It's not just a piece of Musa. Kadei Lucha Pesitra means this is a mitzvah we have to learn. And if it's a mitzvah, we have to lay up a kamocha, you have the dynamics of the problem. It's we have to lay up a kamocha as opposed to Sinas Lashoyim and to Tzar Balachai. According to the Rambam, and this is again a conclusion for which I'm not giving you the background material, the way it works is that the Yahapu Lareha Kamocha neutralizes Tzar Balachai. And therefore you remain with two mitzvahs. V'yahapal alecha kamocha and sinas v'shayim. Which means that the Rambam will hold that at one and the same time your responsibility to the other fellow who happens to be a sonei in the sense of a rasha is to love him and hate him at the same time. The question is, how can you love and hate a person at the same time? The answer is, it's usually that way. Huh. Psychologists call it ambivalence. Much before the psychologist who invented it, coined the term, said it, the Tanya in Perek Lamed Beis, the famous Perek Lamed Beis, late where he speaks about Avos Yisrael, says specifically that even if it's a mitzvah to hate the Russia, at the same time there's a mitzvah we have to let it come out. And I find it, I believe, that really is the shita of the Rambam. Madame Schick points out that the Torah formulated the mitzvah of love with the term reya, and not with the term, as usual, ach, because he believed that this demonstrates that you have a mitzvah to love even someone who is not a yirei Hashem. Ach means the yirei Hashem. Reyacha means anybody, any Jew. He cites the Gemara in Sanhedrin. The famous Gemara, that the Yahapal Lech of Kamoka comes to teach you that when you execute a criminal, roll a Nisa Yoka. You have to choose a Nisa Yoka, an easy death. Now, that Leia obviously is not one of the Hasidim and Anshei Maaseh, and the man deserves a death penalty. So you see that even though he is a Rosha, but the Mitzvah of the Yahapal Lech of Kamoka is followed. But pretty interesting, the Yad Ramah, the same Daf, to the same Daf, too. And heaven deduces the same thing from the interesting thing that Leia means even Ra. Sounds like a drush, doesn't it? But this is the Yad Rama. You have to love Leia even if he is a Ra. The same word is only the vowel touching. Therefore, the Rishonim also point out that this was Ahavas Leim refers to the Shoyim as well. But look, I haven't answered all the questions. We still have to reconcile all of this in opposition. The things I'm bringing now are in opposition to the Hagoyis Maimonides. Hachilchus and the Seiyah for the Rambam apparently is against the Hagoyis Maimonides. The other Rishonim are against the Hagoyis Maimonides. The trouble is that Hagoyis Maimonides gets what he says from the Rambam himself. So they have apparently a problem within the Rambam, namely the Hilchos Avelos, he limits the Hakol Avecha Kamocha, the Avicha, the Torah and Mitzvahs. So it is an exclusive kind of Ahava, and obviously does not apply to the Rashi. I have a feeling that the key phrase, the Torah, Avicha, the Torah and Mitzvahs, must not be understood in terms of actual observance, which is the literal sense in which it was read by the Goyas Maimonides, but rather as a metaphor. I'll try to justify it in a moment. It is a metaphor for all those, achicha b'Torah mitzvahs means, to your brother who is chayiv in Torah mitzvahs. Which means, not your brother who practices Torah mitzvahs. Your brother, who is your brother because he is a bar mitzvah, an event, he is chayiv to learn Torah. That's what makes him achicha b'Torah mitzvahs. That's what makes him, or it's another way of saying, the Yisrael. Proof of the fact is that instead of Yisrael, the Rambam, in a similar, there's another manuscript that has B'nai Bris. B'nai Bris, Yisrael, Achicha B'Torah Mitzvahs are apparently interchangeable terms. Now my proof is that I have trouble with Achicha B'Torah Mitzvahs, taken literally. Why do I have trouble? How does the Hagos Mamnus read Achicha B'Torah Mitzvahs? Your brother who observes mitzvahs, and what does he do? Observes over mitzvahs, right? And he is someone who learns Torah. Now look, if you take it literally and you say achicha b'Torah mitzvahs means your brother who is observant of the mitzvahs, you must also conclude the other part of the phrase, achicha b'Torah. So not only are you required to exclude someone who is not b'kaya mitzvahs from Ahavas Yisrael, you have to excuse someone who is not Talmud Chacham. You have your point of view, I have mine. Well, your wife isn't here, mine is. No. What I'm saying is, really, that it means I'm getting to a very, very exclusive definition now. First of all, what is, and what are your criteria of achicha b'mitzvahs? Let's talk about this. Achicha b'Torah must mean someone who learns Torah. That means an ordinary person, most Jews today who don't learn Torah, even if they belong to the most orthodox Jews, are not, no longer, they're outside of the purview of Ahavas Re'ah. Right? And achicha b'Torah mitzvahs, how many mitzvahs do they have to perform? Some of the mitzvahs. Which ones? Must be all the mitzvahs. Shloim HaMelech, however, says, "No one observes all the mitzvahs and never does it there. No one. That means no one has to be loved. What happens to the mitzvah of Yaakov Le'Yachta? So the literalist, reading the Rambam literally, does not seem to allow itself to be expressed in any practical way. Therefore, I believe it means that the Torah mitzvahs was an expression which meant your fellow Jews, all those who are high in the Torah mitzvahs. Now, I'd like to say that. My problem is that the Rambam is rather resistant to such interpretations, because I mentioned rather on Pesach before the end of the Hilchos, the passage I quoted from Hilchos Mitzvah. He says, "Our Torah hechida al mashreis Yisrael bein v'shoim bein tzadikim ne'achat she'en nilvim el Hashem u'ma'aminim b'ikrei hadas." So what the Rambam is saying is that he makes a drastic distinction between two different types of Rishayim. A Rasha who violates mitzvahs, kasha, shabbos, das, mishpot, you name it, neyla, gizela, and a Rasha who's an apostate, who's a kotla, who's a min, a chorus. The Rambam apparently will agree that the mitzvahs ahavas, the ahavas Yisrael applies to a man who does not observe mitzvahs, but does not apply to a man, no matter how many mitzvahs he observes, if he denies the principles of Yahadis. Right. Okay. Of course, this too is not a perfect proof because, you know, it's the end of the Sutaya. And anyone who is sensitive to literary style knows that the particular literary style of the Rambam is at the end of the whole section of Halachas. He goes through kind of a Gadic flourish, giving it a mitzvah, or making, you know, broad generalizations which tie all the halachas together, and are not always, they're not meant to be halachic statements as para halachic, or, pardon? A summation, but in like more Gadic, more literary flourish language. So who knows, perhaps the this same thing is true that the word Shehein Nilvim El Hashem V'Maminim Te'ikri Hadas is not meant to be a distinction between two types of Rasha, but it can mean Shehein, because Jews, since the Mitzvah of Kalan Jews, so So all Jews, why is Mitzvah on Jews? Because Jews as a community, as Klal Yisrael, as Knesset Yisrael, are Nivim El Hashem, Imaminim, the Ikrei Hadas. I might even go in and find some support, and I'm going to be very quick about this, but I'm in Tukas of the Zara says, faithfulness to three, that we have a mason, someone who seduces other people to the Eved of the Zara. So the Rambam says, also the Musas, whatever is the basis. Chaim talked me into being an Eved of the Zara. I'm the Musas, I'm the seducee, and he's a seducer. And then it's a mitzvah, it is an issa for me to show him any love. Jinam alo sovelo. No, sova means you shall not want him, you shall not be meetable to him, you shall not love him. And without Asha of this kind, I'm not allowed to do it. So Gray says, with lo sovelo, let's kolal shinam abi hatu lecha kamocha, yochal at the oyev lezeh, tamad lo mal lo sovelo. Mashma from the Rambam, that the Musa, the Mesis, is a special kind of a bearer. He's Mesis Talbaid Azara. Him you may not love. The Mashma, that another person, even though he's not Makabal Ikrayat, the one who's Mesis Talbaid Azara, does he accept the Ikray Hadas? He doesn't accept that there's one God. I mean, how is he going to accept the Ikray Hadas? He's talking you into Talbaid Azara. So he's talking you into what? Into being co-fair of the Ikray Hadas, not only co-fair in deist, but even in practice. So if you have to have a special pasuk, well, so there, that the Mesis who talks you into it, not a lot of love, is a chmashma to every other kind of avera, even if it was in deis. You have to have ahava. That is a mashmoris, but it's, I'd like to say that, but it still doesn't help. Because as this gentleman pointed out, we have to contend with the perish mishnayis. Namar and perish mishnayis is rather hardline, very hardline. After enumerating the Yud Gimel Ikarim in the parish to Chelek, the Hedlin, he does indeed distinguish between different caste classes of the Rishayim, and he says as follows, when you accept all the 13 principles of Judaism, and here is the expression of Klal Yisrael, I think comes from, or largely, this is some of the sources, Hareihu Nechnas Bechlal Yisrael. If you accept the Yud Gimel Ikrim, you are included in the Klal of Yisrael. The Chova Lev Olav, you have to love him. And all the mitzvahs we're told, the Na'ahava, the Ya'achva, you have to love. Atilo Aslam Mashiachal Dias Menaveres Machmas Ta'avasa. Even if he's a sort of person who doesn't care, he's tough, he does all kinds of malayas, all kinds of terrible things, he'll be punished for it. Bumi Koshi Yisrael. But, as long as he accepts the Ikrim, you have to love him. But because you fact face other the yesod me'ela hayesodos, if you have any doubts about Yud Gimel Ikrim, they say Yisrael and a klal, you are removed from which klal? Yisrael, second the Hagadah, Yisrael, first Yisrael and a klal, it's not a klal Yisrael. The kofar of the ikar, the nikron minva the ikaris the kotz benetias nala b'dezachim, the kovul is anoso the hashmido v'alavom ala mesalech hashemes. To be clearer. So the Rambam might accept that the commandment to have Ahavas Yisrael applies to a Rasha who sins out of moral weakness, but not one who sins in spiritual rejection, not one who is a kofir, I mean who is an apostate. Well, you have to compare that and work with the Sifri. What do you do with the Mesis and the Musas? Apparently, whoever the heretic, it turns out, to the apostate, the kofar, may be worse than the Mesis. The only conclusion one can draw from the Rambam. And therefore, you cannot escape the conclusion that the Rambam's own words in the parish of Mishnayos militate against what I'm trying to interpret his position in the Mishnah Torah. In truth, the Rambam holds that the kofar does not only lose his share in Olam Haba, his chelek Olam Haba, but he also is removed from the class of Jews whom we are commanded to love. He is Yotzein Mechlau Yisrael, no longer part of the Jewish people. Now, with regard to the principle of Tiyata Mason, Rambam writes in the same Chelek, Tiyasa Mason Yisrael, Yisrael Das Rosh Rabbeinu, Ein Das, V'ein kesher ema uma Yehudis v'li she'en ema amin.
It's gone.
The night he has amazing. Not part of Chag Yisrael. And in Hilchas Mitzayach, he writes very similar. Avi Karsen, v'ein ovdei v'ein dezara asa averes b'hachas, v'she kofren v'torah v'nevua, mitzvah l'horga. Powerful language. In Yesh, the yada of Koach laharga the side of a pahesi horay. You can do it openly. If somehow society permits you to do it openly, go ahead and do it. Vimla vayabal em barilos, ashe yisabe harigosan keitzad, yorach vashemachol avetis, the mitzvah of the Moridim Bechbalen. You see him in a ditch, you had to go down with a ladder, you simply pull the ladder away and walk off. You cause his death indirectly, you can't cause it directly. Now, these words are consistent with his opinion in the Mishnah, in the Perish Mishnah is coming. This halacha about the person is consistent with the Perish Mishnah. The Meiri agrees with this, says so openly, Shamiyacha she'emin ma'sharoi ulahamin osehu miklau ha'am, because if he has really many chatoim, he still remains part of the klal. But if he has fira or doubts in the yudikanim, he is no longer part of the klal. But there are inherent difficulties with the shita of the Rambam, especially that Rambam does something that I think he's the first vision to do, maybe the only one other than the Yudhi. How does the Mishnah Kehilat begin?
Here, you all know that, don't we?
Is there any mention of Klal Yisrael? Not a word. The Rambam accepts for granted that Eilu Chelik Lolam Abba is equivalent to Yotzei Mechlal Yisrael, and he's excluded from the category of Yisrael. Now, this is something which is standard in the Rambam. Now, I have difficulty with that equation. For one thing, why did the Mishnah itself not adopt this Rambam's formula? And why, Kol Yisrael Yesh Lahem Chelek Abba, Ve'elu Einam Bechlal Yisrael? It's a bigger chiddush. Why didn't the Mishnah say it? If the equation is a correct equation, why does the Mishnah say, Befam Mole, not only Chelek Lolam Abba, it's a matter of 10,000 years from today, 100 years, 5 years from today. We're not thinking of Halachas and Negeya, this man is there. Do you have a mitzvah to love him or not? The Mishnah should have said, Ve'elu ein lahem chelek chelek lolam haba, ve'enu b'chlag Yisrael. Perhaps the Mishnah did not want to reach this extreme conclusion which the Rambam has accepted. Perhaps the Mishnah means, ein lahem chelek lolam haba, but they're still a part of chlag Yisrael. Furthermore, you can make a reduction ad absurdum here. Let me quote you something in Ovest and Abnasi. Perek Lamed Vav. Rice says, Shiva Elam Chelek Lolam Haba. There are seven categories who have no Chelek Lolam Haba. Just be careful, gentlemen. Ladies and gentlemen. Lavla, a scribe. The Sofer, in this sense, Sofer probably means a teacher of Lava Dardiga. The Tosha Barokim, the best of doctors. The Dayan Lehido, one of the Dayan in his own town. The Kosein, a sorcerer, a wizard. Chazon, which means the not no smile on my mouth. It means you've got a lot of chazon. It means the court of the best office up to the best. The tabuch and the butcher. Later on it says, someone who learned and stopped learning. I don't know who that could be. Rabbi Akiva says, someone who's not a shamish lamed chacham. Tesis and Saita asks, why does the Tana and Perek HaChelek mention all of those? About him it says, Ein Lahem Chelek Lolam Haba, including, goes to the Gemara Saita, someone who has got to screw up, someone who's haughty, Mesim Shev Chutz La'aretz, who are not buried in Eretz Yisrael, Ein Lahem Chelek Lolam Haba, Amei Ha'aretz, unless they gave help to Talmud Tochan, Malvim Beridus, who's left? We have excluded everybody. You know, if you take, if the Rambam really means that Eilam Cholak Lelam Hapa automatically implies Eilam Chol Yisrael, not only have you denied Chedek Lelam Hapa across the board, almost, and everyone is out except for very, very few, except for present company, very few people are left in, unless you're left boarded, certain. But it means that you're also not part of Chol Yisrael. But over the Rambam list, Rambam lists 24 categories of Chotim who do not have a share in Lelam Hapa. Amongst them, he mentions Lashon Hara. Even we are excluded. Even we are excluded. Gemara says, after all, Eino Tamitzu Me'avak Lashon Hara B'Kol Yom. So according to the Rambam's own rules, there's almost no one left who has a Chelek Lelam Hapa. And the overwhelming majority, then, and that part of Klal Yisrael, the overwhelming majority of Am Yisrael is not entitled to our Ahava. On the contrary, we must conclude that Mitzvah L'Sanoso, V'lo Lachmo L'Olav, the Kol Chomer HaDin that the Rambam says. Either it is or it is not an equation. And apparently the Rambam was even aware of the difficulty, because in his Tshuva and Perek Gimel, he writes, Yesh Eberes Kalos Me'elu, some lighter sins, it's not better not to get involved in that. Such as Machana Alam Lakh Mishana Shem Khabero. You give your friend a nickname, Chazal say, Ema Khalak Bad Mahbo. You notice that Imam is no longer saying there's not a part of Klal Yisrael. What is Imam saying? He wants not to do it. Kedai al Hisrachik Mehen. Now Kedai al Hisrachik Mehen is a halachic aid to Tova. Doesn't mean you're no longer part of Klal Yisrael, you don't get involved. So we are really faced here with a real problem. Did he really, is the Rambam firm on this principle that Chelek L'Olam Haba implies no part of Klal Yisrael, or isn't it? And if he is, why didn't he say so explicitly? More difficult even than these is what Yehud Rabbi Akiva, who said that the Dor HaMeisei and Dor HaMidbar Yom HaChelek L'Olam Haba. Now, if Ein HaChelek L'Olam Haba means that not part of Klal Yisrael, that means all of us, between the time of Har Sinai and today, were cut out of Klal Yisrael. Because they say Midbar, they all died. Therefore, who's left? There was a discontinuity in Jewish history. Thirdly, when he classifies in Hilchos Teshuvah Perek Gimel, those who will not receive Chelek L'Olam Haba, he does not remark, the Rambam in Mishneh Torah does not remark that he's not part of Klal Yisrael. Not say that. Finally, the equation of the Rambam is upset by another Chazal at the center, which Rambam quotes the famous upset because of the end of the Malachim. Chasidim Azolan, Yesh Lam Kerechon Mabar. No longer can make an equation to Kerechon Mabar, part of Klal Yisrael, because you have to say that Chasidim Azolan are part of Klal Yisrael. And someone who, and the Lavlor, is not part of Klal Yisrael. One of the sources of Hara is not that. You change your definition of Klal Yisrael. No longer they know what are we talking about. Well, in the final analysis, we have to accept the stark truth that the Rambam differentiated in the Perish Mishnayos between two types of Mishnayos. And Ahava and Chelek L'Olam Haba apply only to the Rasha, who is a Rasha in the lack of observance. But the Kofar is out of the picture. What I do believe, and I don't want to go into it in detail, is that the Rambam in the Mishneh Torah may have changed, may have modified his stand in the Perish Mishnayos. It won't be the first time that you want to come across it, not the last time. In the Perish Mishnayos, clearly, it's a hard line, Eilam Chelek Mabo, not part of Klal Yisrael. You do not find that repeated to the same extent in the Mishneh Torah. In fact, there are indications that we'll come to in a moment, having finished the theoretical part, now down to the practical application. I just want to say, as a derech agav, it's not a surprise to find that I'm not so hardline. I don't find it in other Rishonim. It's really consistently, systematically hardline in applying opinions as excluding people from Am Yisrael. The answer is really very simple. No. The more your conception of a hierarchy of what makes a person chosher in Yehadis, what is the highest level of Yehadis, the more you are behavioristic, and you say it's a matter of mitzvahs, the less you will exclude a person because of days. The more you say that a person is a Jew, or reaches the heights of Yahadis, by virtue of his ideas, the quicker we can exclude him because of bad ideas. And the Rambam holds that the highest, most of the Odom HaSholim, is the halachic Jew is secondary to the Jew, not secondary to the Jew who does not observe halachic HaSholim, but who has gone beyond it, because halacha leads the Dovah Kot, leads to the Dovah Godol, of someone who has reached Da'at Hashem. Having the right conception of Elokus is the highest level. Therefore, any pikuk, any diminution of the correct opinion, puts you outside of Kali Yisrael. Well, everyone else who does not necessarily share this highly rationalistic position will be much more moderate on excluding people's aggressive opinions. Now, contemporary applications. All right, the halachic implications obviously are of tremendous importance to the Jewish community today. They have vast social and political implications, which I will not spell out. Question, are we really, in fact, commanded to exclude all those who reject the fundamentals of Yahadus from the mitzvah of Ahava and membership of Klal Yisrael? If that is what we are bidden to do, the ramifications are nothing short of cataclysmic. And my friend from the Machna HaKharedi is right. Less than a million Jews. Except, I would say, less than 10 Jews. Because I have to exclude all the Lavlorim and the Serfim, the Bakhtar Shemara, and they say the Slurs, and that's all that. So it's not a million Jews who are part of Klal Yisrael, it's a million, if we're lucky. And if there's a million, that means, except for a few people here, not excluding me, we're all out. Well, if one is not sure that the halacha is indeed such, but decides to act toward Jews who have abandoned the creed of Yahadis, as if they're enemies, he's not being machmir, but rather he is illicitly acting as a makel on the mitzvah of Ahava, Ahavas Yisrael, an issue which is about Kibbul Hashem because we have to have a kamocha in Yashem. And of course, this is the great mitzvah of Hillel, the great mitzvah he called Edo Kedusha, all the rest of the Torah, is only a perish on Ahavas Yisrael. And therefore, if we're excluding everybody, what is left in the world? Our analysis will show that there are four cogent reasons for concluding that the mitzvah to practice Ahavas Deyim, Ahavas Yisrael, applies to virtually all Jews today, even those who do not accept the basic tenets of the Ahavas. Reason Bachron proposed two reasons. I'll go over that very quickly. Now, there are 32 additional reasons in my opinion. Number one, the zeitgeist, prevailing opinions in the whole Western world. How do you classify someone who doesn't accept the Tikkunim, the Yigimel Tikkunim, the Yigimel for Rambam, other Rishonim, other dogmatologies, 3, 5, 7, whatever it might be? If this Jew's dissension from the Tikkunim issues not out of any personal philosophical conviction, nor out of spite, but simply because he hasn't thought of the command to conform. You read the New York Times, you read the New Republic, you read the Nation, you read the Village Voice, Allah has come to come, this is part of the culture in which we live. And if you read these kind of journals, and you read and you go through college, and you come across the assistant professors who think that they're great customers to turn you off religion when you're never on it in the first place, then this is part of the you get it with your mother's milk. It's the zeitgeist. And you're not rebelling, you just never thought of it, or never thought of it differently. What do you say about such a Jew? Which, had he been born under different circumstances, but had he been nurtured by a loving family, committed to Torah, educated by good teachers, he might have grown up firm in his commitment to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to Torah, and to Yahadis, to the Torah. Can we claim for such people the principle of Pinnuk Shemishra Beina Akram? Which, according to the Gemara, is what? What category is it? Coerced. And therefore, if he's coerced, Hermanus is not tired, and you have the mitzvah of Yahapur Ephraim Ramotha. Rav Kook says yes. This is the Kiddush of Rav Kook. Cook writes, based on a criticism that's in heaven, said that the scorer to say that the first, normally we say a pasha is pasha, the ladai is the pasulayis. The first is suspect of immoral behavior, then he is disqualified as a witness in the Jewish court of law, right? Pesach says that a pasha, the ladai's, may be acceptable in a court on the basis of onus. Who forced him? The answer is Yitzchak. Yetzirah forced him, and Pesach says the same thing in Eden, that Kipon Shahashifka Mishadlosam was loose, Hashidikons. The Shifka with whom he sinned seduced him, and this seduction becomes a case of he arouses Yetzirah, and Yetzirah therefore is Ma'anis him, and therefore he becomes an onus rather than a mason. So says Rav, the Chaini Hashifka Fisha, the ugly, the evil Shifka of Zerem Hazmat. Zerem Hazmat is the Zeitgeist, the spirit of the day. And therefore he says, a man who sits in the wooden, a real one who got him or son for God's sake. We do not treat them as willful sinners, but rather as honest. So Deist, says Rav Kook, should be treated like a Deist, which means in Deist, we ordinarily imagine, if you have an opinion, imagine I have to say, oh, this is forced to you. The answer is, it is forced. The coercion comes from the environment in which you live, and none of us should be that much, you know, that's boastful and that arrogant to think that we can resist this environment. By living away from your family and away from contact with Jews for a couple of months in a completely alienated atmosphere, and you begin to realize and to recognize how much heroism it requires to resist your intellectual environment and to live as a member of a cognitive minority and think your own thoughts and be independent. It's very, very difficult. So we therefore dare not, in our paganized generation, liberally assume that a person of this sort is not a typical shenidrim and a hakam and therefore excluded from the circle of those we are required to love. Moreover, not only is it wrong to condemn whole sections of the Jewish people to this sad status, given the intellectual climate of our time, secularism, hedonism, narcissism, materialism, but every individual Jew who has strayed, I think, must prima facie have a chazoka that he is an honest, and therefore not to be regarded as a kofar, as an apikoros. And the Chazonish says the same thing. I'm not going to quote the whole Chazonish. He says the halacha of Moridin Vein and Malanot, of the chorus, you know, taking away the ladder and causing his death, is not shayach to Zman Hazeh, because the Zman Hazeh is a time of Hestaponim, when, how would you pass a Hestaponim in our times? A time when religion isn't in the air. The awareness, the sensitivity, the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not present. That sensitivity is rare. And therefore, you cannot take a person who disbelieves at a time when it's so hard to believe for people who weren't raised in Torah and in a home that's molly the Godish Torah, you can't expect a person of this sort. And on the contrary, says the Chazanish, Chazal meant the din of Moridim Vein and Malin to be a Gedar of Tikkun HaOlam. That's the theme, isn't it? A Gedar of Tikkun HaOlam, says the yeah.
Which makes it even worse.
If there is a tikkun, you have the halacha for Yisrael. And you exclude from Chol Yisrael. In our times, obviously, there's no tikkun, there's only, as the Chazanish says, a pirza, which makes it worse. So therefore, according to both the Chazanish and the Rav Kook, the nature of the times in which we live does not allow for such an easy and facile exclusion from Chol Yisrael. Even Amram himself, in spite of his harsh attitude in the Perish of Mishnayos, does mention La Halacha in the Mishnah Torah, that one who rejects the fundamentals, the ikrim of Yahadus, out of habit or out of defective education, is halachically not a kofar. Hilchas Mamre, he writes,
concerning, again, this time really concerning exclusion from Klal Yisrael, he writes the reverse. I met one of my women, that he is not a part of Yisrael and is Moritim Ben Malim, the Isha Kofa Betora Baalpeh, etc., etc. The Kofa Betora Shabalpeh Chila. If he is the one who originates the rebellion, the Tzodek of Isis, we have a called the Torah Machala, and those who came for the first time, our B'nei HaTorah Me'elah, B'nei B'nei, who simply follow the Masorah, the traditional Jews, they follow the tradition of reform, tradition of Kfir, tradition of Karoid, tradition of being Tzedukim, whatever it may be. But those who are in the Kroim, the Gadlu Oysama, the Gidlu Oysama of Datam, are the Katinuk Shemin Tzabeinehem, are the Ka'ones, the Afal Pina, listen to this, the Rambam goes further. She'eshoma Acharkak Shehu Yehudi, V'loa Yehudim V'dosam, are the Ka'ones Shehu Gidlu Oysam. Even if you talk to him about doing tshuva, and he doesn't do tshuva, you talk to reform, and you say, no, this, the Torah says such and such. He says, so what? My rabbi says, not so. Is he an honest or not an honest? Is he a tinnik shenitva? You say, for me a tinnik shenitva, because I acquainted him. The answer is, it doesn't help. He was raised that way. And it's so difficult to raise, to change a person who was raised in a certain way and twist them around completely, or untwist them, to the right attitude. Therefore, according to the Rambam, he remains an onus, even if he learned about it. Couldn't have been more explicit, exculpating those who were raised by parents and teachers, society, on a diet of rejection and indifference to Yahadis. So the category of onus applies to deus as well. And really, I don't want to go into detail, but I'm just referring to the Perish of Mishnayos and Purim, the beginning of Perek Aleph, where he says so as openly as can be expected or expressed. That's number one. The Zeitgeist is one way of modifying the Koma ethic. Second, here I'm going to be going very quickly too, because, again, the